girls, and there's also therapy too.
Okay, well, are you okay now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, great. Okay, hello everyone and welcome to Park Pals. Thank you so much for your patience and for waiting for us. We've had a really crazy busy September, which is gnarly that it's almost October already. I mean, kind of like jumping the gun a little bit, but still. Our sweet Maddie is now married and she will be coming back. Yeah, she will be coming back to us shortly. But today I have Brooklyn here because she's amazing. And she knows the drill and what to do and everything. So that's really fun. But Maddie always has, as always, has sent in her summary. But just as like a recap, and I'll let Maddie like tell more of the like details or whatever. But because like she obviously has more thoughts and feelings probably because she was a part of it. But and by part of it, I just mean like she is a part of the couple that got married. But the wedding was beautiful and perfect. And she looked beautiful. And all her bridesmaids and everything just worked out really well. And everyone was like, so nice as far as like being super helpful for everything. And I just think everything just went as well as it could have gone. And I'm very excited that it all just like, you know, went off with a bang. You know, it was great.
Yay, Maddie. Congratulations.
Yay. So if you see us post anything or if you follow her directly, then give her some shouts and you'll probably see some wedding photos. And we'll probably post some too on the story or on our stories or whatever for the podcast as well. So yay. Okay. Well, so today we have Brooklyn, like I said, and we are doing Ron and Tammy 2. Technically, it's called Ron and Tammy Part 2, but it's referred to as Ron and Tammy 2, Season 3, Episode 4. I will give you a breakdown on who wrote and directed this, which side note, we have a new writer-director alert because neither of these people have written or directed on the show thus far, although they come back later. So, this was written by Emily Kapnick, who on the show, on Parks, is a consulting producer on Parks, obviously. So by this point, she had been on the show for a while, but this is her first time writing. But some other things that she's known for is As Told by Ginger. Do you remember that Nickelodeon show?
No, I never watched that one.
I think it was a little, even past my time, maybe like a couple years after, but I remember it being on the air. But anyway, she voiced a character on that, but she also was a writer on there. And she created and wrote this show called Selfie, which I remember when I was living in LA, there were when you drive past Warner Brothers Studios, they have, and Universal, but especially Universal, you can't see as much from the street, but Warner Brothers, you could see all the billboards of what was like filming there. And I remember Selfie being up there, and it was like a new show back when I was there. So I would say that was probably, I don't even remember, probably like 2015 maybe, because I graduated in 14. It's like 2015 or 16 or something. It didn't last for a super long time, but it looked really cool. And I'm sorry to say that I didn't watch it, but I think it's because it didn't last for a very long time. And
was it like a TV show or a movie?
Yeah, it was a TV show.
Was it on a network or like a, okay.
Yeah, it was a network show, and she created and wrote on it. So I think also streaming services weren't as big at the time. I mean, they were, but they weren't as big, so I couldn't watch it on that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I guess I could have found it on Hulu, but I didn't have cable. So anyway, that was really cool for her. And then she was also a writer on a show called Suburgatory. And then she also wrote 3 episodes of the show called Splitting Up Together, which is the show that starred Jenna Fischer, a.k.a. Pam, on The Office, and Oliver Hudson, who's been on a lot of things. But him and Kate Hudson are brother sister, and they have a podcast called like Sibling Rivalry or something like that. But also Oliver Hudson was also on Nashville, the TV show, for a little bit. But anyway, it's basically about Jenna Fischer and him like split up and then like divorce, and then they have to like go through raising their kids and stuff together. So it's called Splitting Up Together.
Okay. I never watched that. I think I saw like some ads for that when it first came out though. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it lasted for very long either, but it looked cool. So I don't
know. Yeah. Cool.
But anyway. So that's Emily. And again, she's been a consulting producer for a while, but this is her first time writing. And then this was directed by Tucker Gates. And this DVD also had a commentary on it. And Mike Schur said that he really appreciated Tucker's directing because you could kind of tell like where everyone was or was going without having to say it, if that makes sense, which I think we'll get into a little bit later. But anyway, the point is that Mike sure liked him. But he seems to have directed a ton of sci-fi, like action things. He directed Alias, Homeland, Lost. He also directed the first Hunger Games, which is incredible.
Yeah, what a different, like, kind of
vibe
scene. Yeah, totally. For Parks and Rec.
I know.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. But he also directed 4 episodes of The Office, and one of which was Threat Level Midnight, which
is so funny
because that was kind of like the actiony, like parody actiony, like version of The Office, which is really funny. And then he also directed an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And again, this is his first time directing Parks, but he comes back for The Comeback Kid in season 4, which is the season after this. But The Comeback Kid is that one where she's like really, she's doing bad in her campaign. And then she like, I think it's when, what's his ass? The, Pete, the dunking guy comes in and they try to make a comeback. I think that's what it is. Okay. But anyway.
Yeah.
excuse me. I'll edit that out. But anyways, yeah. Also, side note, I should mention that after I got back from Maddie's wedding, I got very, very sick. So you'll probably hear some sinus shit going on. So just FYI.
I don't think anybody cares.
I know, but I thought that I should explain myself.
I don't think so. I think you sound beautiful. Jenna Fisher doesn't explain herself when she's sick on The Office.
She did explain herself on the podcast.
Well, not in the show.
Yeah, but on the podcast.
Okay.
No one explains themselves when they're on the show because they're not playing themselves.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, Maddie also got sick apparently. But okay. We're all doing as, you know, good. Okay. A couple things before we get started into like the cold open and everything. I just have a couple of like little notes, which I think like previously I've called this one Constant Knowledge, the little segment, which kind of works because both of us are on here and both of our last names are Constant.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay. So there was a trailer for this episode, this Ron and Tammy episode on the DVDs. And I don't know if they ever aired it or what it was, but it's like this post like apocalyptic like crazy horror looking trailer for this episode. And I was just gonna like play the I recorded like the audio of it, and then I'll put the actual video in stories maybe. But wait, hang on, let me just play this for you.
What's it like to stare into the eye of Satan's butthole?
If she binds your hands and you can't reach your phone, just try to chew yourself free.
I honestly believe that she was programmed by someone from the future to come back and destroy all happiness.
Death is inescapable.
She's here, isn't she?
Anyway, it just keeps going on and on like that where
it's a longer? It goes longer?
Yes! And they do pull some stuff not from that episode. So like you just heard Chris say, death is inescapable. That wasn't from the Ron and Tammy episode. But like, you know, they added all the music and the bum bums kind of thing in there to make it like all
that's like a Threat Level Midnight kind of situation, isn't it?
Absolutely! That's true. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So anyway, that was really cute. And so I'll post that video in stories because they made a whole actual trailer for it. And
that's
then,
cool.
I know. So the next tidbit was that this was one of the episodes of The Six. Remember how we talked about last episode that they shot six episodes at the end of season 2?
Yeah.
Because Amy Poehler was pregnant and they wanted to make sure she had a good maternity leave. So they like rushed 6 episodes. This was one of them. And I do feel like I was noticing that I do feel like Leslie wasn't in that much of this one. Yeah. And Mike Schur said that this was the first idea that they had because they knew Ron and Tammy worked and could carry an episode. So like when they found out that Amy Poehler was pregnant and that they would probably have to like, you know, have her not be in it as much or hide her belly or whatever. This was one of the first ideas that they had to like kind of cover that because apparently Mike Schur said that Amy was 5.5 or 6 months pregnant at this time, which is okay. Wild. They also shouted out the costume designer, Kirsten Mann, for dressing her in like dark things, kind of like flowy things that they could like cover her belly. But that's kind of wild. So, yeah, just a little bit of extra behind the scenes.
Oh, what were they looking at? Like wardrobe stuff?
Kirsten Mann was the costumer for this. So they like shouting her out and saying like she did a good job of picking out stuff that could cover her belly.
Oh, okay. In the commentary. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. That has to be. Yeah. Hard job to figure out.
I know. Wild.
But I agree. I thought she looked really cute.
I did too. And you couldn't really tell, I feel. And one of the things they also said in the commentary was that Amy Poehler had one of those pregnancies, like her, you know, those pregnant ladies who like it's just their belly, like it's not anything else that gains weight. That's kind of like how she was. So really all they had to worry about was her belly. They felt
okay.
Like, I know, I just feel like with me personally, if I were to ever get pregnant, it would be all over my body.
I know.
Like, I even remember when Angela was pregnant on The Office, like, her face was a little swollen or, like, bloaty, you know what I mean? Which, like, you would expect, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But, like, you could kind of tell. But with Amy Poehler, I feel like you couldn't really.
I know. Yeah, I really couldn't.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's a little behind-the-scenes moment. And then a couple of things, but kind of like all within the same vein. So I'm just going to read what I found on one of these articles. So when this episode, the Ron and Tammy 2 episode, first broadcast, NBC ran a commercial advertising April and Andy's wedding registry on the official Parks and Rec website. And apparently it was a mistake intended to refer to Ron and Tammy's registry. And some commentators suggested it could be indicative of, you know, the future events that we see for Andy and April. But then Mike Schur said that it was like due to like an error by NBC employees, quote unquote. But then, and he wasn't like throwing them under the bus or anything. He was just like, oh yeah, that's like totally what happened, whatever. But then after, like, all was said and done, he was quoted as saying, in an effort to undo the spoiler, we publicly stated in a number of interviews that NBC had just accidentally gotten the character names wrong and that there was no upcoming Andy April wedding. We sincerely hope the fans of the show are cool with us gently lying to them in an effort to maintain the surprise nuptials as much as we could. Now, if you'll excuse us, we have to go shoot the season finale surprise Jerry Donna wedding scene. So basically, like, they knew that Andy and April were getting married, and they posted that instead of Ron and Tammy accidentally. So they kind of lied to the audience and was like, oh, no, that was totally a mistake. Like, that's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. But really, they just, like, messed up.
Yeah, that's really smooth.
I know. It is kind of smooth, actually, when you think about it.
That's really sweet that they were gently lying to us.
Gently lying. I know. I really like that that little, you know, phrase. That's funny.
I know. It's so funny because I don't really, when I was watching Parks and Rec at this time, I was not watching it on network. So I was just watching it on Netflix, where it was at the time. And so I was kind of in my own little world. So I was totally surprised by everything, you know, because I wasn't watching like commercials for the show or anything like that.
That's true. Yeah, I was really trying to think of when I started watching this, and Maddie and I've talked about this before, and I honestly couldn't tell you. I know it was in college, but I don't know like when it started or like what episode I started watching. Did I start in season one? I have no idea.
Yeah, I remember I definitely started watching it in 2011. I don't know what season was out at that time, but it was definitely new. And I was working.
It was season three. It was this season because it started in 2009.
Okay. So it must have been. Yeah. I started with the very first episode and I found it on Netflix when I was working like some shift work for work. Okay. And so I didn't have anything to do like on some of the days, like, you know, because everybody else was working or if I had to like work late and I didn't have anything to do. So when I lived in McLean, that's when I started watching it because like I would just watch it like in my room and I was like, what is this show? And then I just fell in love with it and I just like binged
it.
Did
you introduce me to it?
Maybe. I don't know because I was just
like. I don't either. Well, because I remember watching The Office on TV because I had a cable, not cable, but like I had a antenna thing or whatever. And I remember watching The Office finale like when it actually came on the network channel. So that was when Parks was on too, but I don't remember if I was watching Parks. I don't think it was. I feel like I would have remembered it.
Maybe I did introduce it to you or mention it to you because I thought it was just like the most like hilarious show. And like I remember the first, you know, the first season is kind of like a little bit like low budget. Yeah, and I was like, what even is this show? And I didn't even realize it was like on network. I was like, oh, what is this?
Well, okay, cool. Crazy. Well, let's listen to Maddie's summary.
Okay, and
yay, she sent one in. So let's go ahead and listen.
Hi, Holly and Brooklyn. Here is a summary for Ron and Tammy part two, just in case I'm not able to jump on tonight. Buckle up, because here we go again with Ron and Tammy. Ron starts off the episode holding strong against Tammy. Sadly, Tom, or Glenn, gets raked into the Ron and Tammy drama as he tries to get back at Ron for being with his ex-wife, Wendy. But when Wendy ridiculously asks Ron to move to Canada with her, which ends in them breaking up due to the distance, Ron steps in and takes Tammy off of Tom's hands. In the meantime, Leslie and Ben are working to put together a party for the Pawnee Police Department to help convince them to work the Harvest Festival. We see Ben's interest in Leslie a little bit more, and his fear of cops. Back at City Hall, April is not so eagerly working as Chris's assistant until he goes back to Indianapolis. I also just have to tell you that one of my favorite scenes, almost of all time, and I have no idea why, is when I believe Tammy's the one she slaps Tom. And all the police officers are all of a sudden on the scene, like, what seems to be the problem? And then they all are recounting. I don't know what it is about that scene, but it's just one of my favorite scenes. I laugh every time. I think it's hilarious, and I don't necessarily know why, but I just had to put it out there because I do love this episode, and I do love that we see this side of Leslie. And I mean, we always see this in Leslie, right? But Ben gets to see this side of Leslie where she's always willing to put her friends and her family above her own desires. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I just, those are a couple comments I just wanted to make about the episode in case I'm not able to be there. So I love you guys. And I hope you have a wonderful time chatting about Ron and Tammy part two.
Yay!
That was perfect.
That was perfect. I'm so glad she sent that because, like, usually she'll send her thoughts in, like, a second voice memo, and she only sent one this time. So I was like, oh, I hope that she knew that she could keep sending those because I like hearing her thoughts. And so I'm glad that she said the last part. That was great.
I know, me too.
I do, too. I love when the officers all come in and, like, have this big drama moment. Oh my gosh, yes, we will talk further about it. So good. And yes, great summary. I loved that. Buckle up. Here we go again. Here we go again.
It's true.
Okay, so, okay, this episode, this cold open, starts with this guy named Jack Cooper coming to talk to Ron about an outstanding debt. He seems all nervous and, like, cautious, but then we learn that this is a ploy from Tammy 2 to get Ron to talk to her because he has an overdue library book, and it's a fine, and the book's title is It's Not the Size of the Boat, Embracing Life with a Micropenis. That's totally not a real book, is it? I didn't look it up.
I didn't either.
Well, wait a second. It's on Amazon. That's not real. That can't be real. This is real, Brooklyn.
It's not on
Amazon for $6.49.
Just in case any of your listeners need to
My God. But it's, oh my God. Well, I wonder. Wait, when this was in 2000? Wait, this was released in 2017. It says, and the actual, what you call it, came out. That's weird. That's weird. Is this real? Because the episode came out in 2011.
Maybe and this the author was a Parks and Rec fan.
Maybe so. If you ever find yourself saying, does size matter? This book is ideal for those who face encounters with a less endowed partner. It's a book for men with a tiny penis. They may make special orders for tiny condoms online, but because even the smallest condoms available in stores are too baggy and just slip off. What? It's not a self-help book, but for those who know what it's like living with a little willy, this is for them. What? It's also the best Secret Santa gift. I wonder if it's a gag gift.
Yeah.
Are there any reviews? Oh, my God. From the best-selling author of That's Never Happened Before. This can't be real. I mean, it could be real. I mean, look, If you have a micro penis and you would read this, let me know. 74 ratings. I have a hard time understanding why a book with the same crappy drawing of a small penis on the left and immature jokes on the right is a good thing for anyone. What? Lame and like, oh, okay. It says the 8 to 10 jokes were not worth the free shipping. To call it a book is the joke. You still can't really like tell.
That's hilarious.
My friend suffers from micropenis. I wanted to know there were people who cared out there. So I got this delivered to him. And every time I go to his house, I make sure it's prominently displayed.
Oh my God.
It has to be a gag gift.
Yeah. It sounds
I'm like just a kidding.
Joke
I don't know. The oh my
joke
God.
Is
okay.
That it's called a book. That's funny.
Okay. Well, okay, anyway.
So Ron checked it out from the library, apparently.
Yep. And that one is called It's Not the Size That Matters. But this one in the show says it's not the size of the boat, which is funnier. But
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. This actor was played by James Sharp, who is also a director and producer in addition to an actor. So just FYI, great job, James. But yeah, I noticed that he was very, like, it's almost like he was waiting for Tammy 2 to come in or something. He was, like, glancing around and over his shoulder and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was, like, hesitating.
Yeah. So in his, in Ron's talking head, he has a cute, oh, I was going to tell you. Yeah, so when he has this talking head, he has a cute picture of him being the basketball coach. In that one episode where he is a basketball coach and so is Andy, and he has like the pyramid, the Swanson pyramid of like strength or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was really cute that he had a picture taken with him and his like team, not teammates, but like, you know, basketball players that he was coaching. It's cute.
I know. That is so cute.
But so now they're walking to the library. And friendly reminder, we did this location breakdown when we first saw the library. But just as a reminder, so Leslie and Ron are actually walking to where, like from City Hall to the library. So Leslie's walking and like this, it's all adjacent. So it's not like they're just shooting the exterior, but like they're actually somewhere else. So City Hall of Pawnee is the Pasadena City Hall in Pasadena, California. And you guys, if you haven't been, you have to go immediately. Brooklyn, you went there. Remember? We went there.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. And they have a little courtyard in there, and there's a little fountain, and it looks wonderful. They don't have any Parks and Rec signs, sadly. They should.
I
but
know.
They don't. Which I understand. But anyway, so like when you're walking out of the City Hall and you turn right, like across the street, because it really is like that. If you see kind of behind them, there's like a little kind of concrete, not driveway, but like concrete street, and like you can cross it without anyone like really running over you. It's not like an actual like, you know, highway or whatever. But if you walk out and then turn kind of right, this is another Pasadena like government building, and they kind of like superimpose or CGI the library thing on there. You can't see the library from this episode, but you can see it on the first Ron and Tammy.
So did they actually film in the library there?
No, not inside. That built, like her office, I believe, is on the set still.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
But you can see the exterior of it. And also they have a sign in the background of when they're walking. I took a picture of it and I'll post it. But they have a sign in the background directing you to places. Like there's a arrow that points to City Hall. And then there's one that says City Courts. And then there's one that says Pawnee Government Complex.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So anyway, yeah, it's really cool. If you look it up on Google Maps, like if you type in Pasadena City Hall and then just kind of like, you know, use your thumbs or whatever to like navigate and twist it around, you can find all the different buildings that they are like technically supposed to be at.
That was a really cute area. I really liked going there.
I know,
Pasadena's
really awesome. There
wasn't a lot going on at the City Hall, but it was cool that you could like walk up to like the doors and like peek inside and look at the courtyard. Yeah,
totally. Totally. It's really fun. I highly recommend. It's so beautiful. It's really beautiful. Also, I was noticing, so I've been watching, this is kind of random, but it kind of relates. I've been watching The Big Bang Theory, which I told you already, but they technically are at Caltech, which is in Pasadena. And I think I noticed, because there was an episode where there's a bird on the outside of Sheldon and Leonard's apartment, and he's trying to get it. Sheldon's trying to like shoo it away. And outside of the window, you can see like this almost like castle looking like church castle looking, what's the word, like steeple almost,
like a spire.
Yeah, and I think that's supposed to be City Hall.
That's
what it looks like anyway to me. And so I was like, first of all, that apartment is so nice. I mean, they all talk about like, I mean, we all talk about how sitcoms have like super unrealistic apartments, but that is like what it looks like, that they live really close to the City Hall.
Right.
So anyway, just a fun fact.
That's cool.
But anyway, so Leslie has pre-dialed 911 just in case anything happens. All he has to do is click dial or like call or whatever. And Ron's not worried. And then he comes in, they come in, and then I love this line. It's so weird. Whale tail, she's flashing a whale tail. Abort, abort. And it's like a leopard print one, too.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember that was like a thing like in the 90s to like wear your like the sides of your thong like high like that. Like Christina Aguilera vibes.
Yeah, I remember it was super scandalous. Do you remember? Well, maybe I don't know if you watched it with me, but Degrassi had that episode too, where what's her ass was like really slutty, and she had she did that. She wore her thong like all the way up the side, and it's like a J-Lo moment. Yeah, like Christina Aguilera. And then like the next episode, they were like, "You can't do that." Blah, blah, blah. And then she wore another like slutty outfit, and she was like, "You guys told me not to wear my thong like that or underwear like that or whatever, so guess what, I'm not wearing any." And it was like really scandalous.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I Degrassi know.
Degrassi is the best. Just... Degrassi Next Generation, not the older one, which I haven't watched. But anyway, so the last Ron and Tammy, we looked, Sean had mentioned some books that he like paused on in the back of her office, and I think some of them are still there, but I couldn't make out. I tried to read, like zoom in, but I couldn't make it out. I still got some. Apparently, okay, so there's a reject shelf and there's like an approved shelf, and one of the reject shelves or shelf books says, men like blank, I couldn't make out the word, women like feeling. And then the other one was, I am man, hear me roar louder. I thought that those were so funny. And last episode we found out that they did in fact know that they were like the writers actually sat around the table and came up with those names, so I'm sure they did the same for this one if it's not the same ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that she's being sexy with jerky, too.
I know. Oh, there's one that says controlling the male mind in Woman War 3.
Okay. Yeah. That's so funny. Oh, well, Ron tells her that he's in a healthy relationship now, so he won't be sucked into the nonsense. And I really love her line reading / delivery of, with whom? A relationship. I just really like that.
I love when Leslie's like, oh God, she's good.
Yeah, totally. I know. She sees it. So now we're back at the office. And because Ron has like successfully aborted this mission. And Park's people are talking about pizza and toppings because they're having a pizza party for the sheriffs to get them to volunteer security for the Harvest Festival. And Leslie has this talking head that apparently people want to urinate all over everything in public settings. She's like, I don't know what makes people do that, but they do. And it's really funny. Andy says that sausage, onion, and pepper are scientifically proven to be the best toppings, which got me thinking, like, what are the top pizza toppings in America? Do you want to take a guess at what the very number one topping is? It's really easy.
Pepperoni.
Yes.
Too easy.
There were a bunch of articles on this, and pepperoni in all of them was the top in like all the things. But there was a couple that were like different, I feel. So I'll just read to you what I found. And also some articles were state by state. So Indiana actually did say that sausage was the top ordered topping. After pepperoni, obviously. But, like, sausage was the main one. So, Andy has something going on when he said sausage. I wonder if they, like,
researched that up at all.
I don't know. I also found... I found a USA Today article that said pepperoni was the top, obviously. Mushrooms is second. And then onions are third. So, I feel like Andy's got something with this sausage, onion, and pepper moment. Also, extra cheese was a topping that came up a lot in these articles. And I was like,
yeah.
Does that count? I guess so.
I like pineapple on my pizza, and I know that causes a lot of strife between people. It's very polarizing, but I like it. I don't care.
You like what you like. Mom likes it too, right?
I think so.
I think she likes pineapple and ham, and her and Courtney split it sometimes.
It is so good.
Yeah. I'm not mad about pineapple. I mean, it's not like, you know, my most favorite thing ever, but like, I'm not mad about it. Some people are like really mad about it.
I know, they really are, and I don't understand it.
I think Virginia actually had pineapple as like one of the top toppings.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah, which is so weird. So
that is weird.
You're on track. Okay. Anyway, Ben says, like, should we get salads for a healthy option? And everyone, like, hates him and shuns him. And then I think this is the first mention of calzones for Ben.
Is it the first mention?
Yeah, I don't think he's talked about it.
Oh, my God.
This is really the first one, and everyone, like, is so... This is the polarizing thing, okay? Ben is loved in this moment. And I love Leslie's line of, they're dumb, and so is that idea. Yeah. It's so good.
It is.
And then Wendy comes in, and I don't know, I just don't really love the fact that Wendy comes in to see Ron when she knows Tom is there and how he feels about her. And I know, like, and even Ron, I mean, to, I don't know. I mean, I know Tom, like, got over it, quote unquote ish. And also, like, they're all adults. So, like, why does it matter? But, like, why? I don't know. It seems weird to me. I feel like they should just, like, meet at the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. Like, or they, like, have cell phones.
She should just pick him up outside. Yeah, exactly. She should just pick him outside or something. Pick him up outside.
I know. It's weird.
So, but anyway, this is Jama Williamson, who plays Wendy. This is her last episode, so.
Oh, my God!
I know, because she's moving back, which we'll get to in a moment.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah, I know. Really like how Ron is getting a mid-morning pre-lunch before his actual lunch.
Yes, I like that, too.
I feel like I need to up my meal game.
I know. I feel like him and Kevin would be BFFs, because Kevin always talks about, like, first lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like the hobbits do.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay, so then we see that Chris's assistant had to go to Indianapolis, so he's, quote, borrowing April for a few days. April is, like, physically taunted with this Post-it business, like when he says, I would like these Post-its, I would like them to be this colors, I do not need orange. For a minute, I thought he was going to say, don't get orange, like, I hate orange, but he had orange Post-its.
Yeah.
But then he was like, I have plenty of orange. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then she's, like, groaning, she's like, what were you gonna say? Sorry.
I thought he was gonna say that he hated orange too for some reason.
Yeah, the way he phrased it was like, don't get me orange. More of like, yeah, I already have orange. Anyway, so then Wendy, okay, so they're at JJ's, and Wendy, like, announces basically that she's going to move back to Canada because she's sounds like she's talking about her parents getting old and she wants to be with them. But, like, I don't know. I'm probably crazy, and maybe I'm just biased or whatever, because I like Wendy. But I also, like, it made me think, like, well, then why was there all this struggle for being an American citizen if you're going to go back so soon?
I know. I kind of wondered that as well.
I mean, I guess at least she'll always be an American citizen now, right? Like, she'll always have that citizenship.
Did she get her citizenship? I don't know.
She got the green card.
Yeah, I don't know if she actually, like, went through the process. Maybe she just really wanted that surgeon job in the States.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the story, so.
It just seemed weird, I guess, for a moment. But then I guess I get where she's coming from. Like, I guess she didn't know she was going to go back to Canada.
Yeah, or she didn't anticipate that her parents wouldn't be feeling well.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel like that's, like.
I can buy it.
Yeah, I can too. But I was like, that's kind of a bummer to me to, like, go back when you've, like, tried to lead this life so much of, you know, getting your green card and how hard that must have been and stuff.
I think all she had to do was get married.
I know, but, like, I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess to me it would, like, getting a green card, though, is harder than it seems. It's not just getting married.
Right, I know.
Like, you still have to go through all the questions, and, like, you have to have a meeting and wait by the mailbox for your mail to, like, come tell you that you're like approved and all that shit. I don't know. Whatever. It's, I'm thinking too hard about it. But if this was real life, I'm just imagining like that would be kind of sucky. But maybe again, she like went through with being a full citizenship or citizen so she can like go back and forth. I don't know.
Yeah, she was probably making bank as a surgeon. So she was like, I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I think it's really also interesting to me because she suggests Ron moving to Canada, and then Ron does that like really funny spit take. And that, okay, number one, that seems a little fast. I feel like they haven't been dating for a long time. Okay. And number two, I feel like she doesn't know Ron at all if she says that.
Well, she kind of gave like a side eye, like, I don't think there's any chance you would move to Canada. Like, yeah, I think, well, she knew the answer.
Yeah, you're right. And also Mike Schur and all of them on the commentary said like Jamie Williamson did a good job of acting as Wendy in that moment, because when he says no, she like smiles and is like, of course, I knew you weren't going to go. Like, I understand. Yeah. Like, you, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, why are you even asking? But I also, whatever, I get it.
Yeah, I really like her hair in this scene.
I do too.
It's so pretty.
She's awesome.
I knew.
So, anyways.
Ron. It was only convenience.
I know. But anyway, okay. So now they're at this bar. And Ben is like, shouldn't we try to be like strategizing of like when we're going to ask the sheriffs for this opportunity and slash like, you know, favor, which is huge. And she's like, dude, I already got it. Like post pizza, pre ice cream, like right between his third and fourth beer. Like, this is when we should ask for this. I love it. And Ben is like trying to make sure that he knows what's going on, but like he just doesn't know Leslie yet. I feel that to know that she's already going to have this information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I really want to know also where this bar is, but I couldn't find it. So I messaged the director. She has like her own production company, I think it is, or something. And so I messaged on, I couldn't find her actual email address, but I did message through her production company website. So hopefully she gets back to me or somebody.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Maybe that one of the officers will get back to me and tell me where it is. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy wearing an O'Shea's shirt, but that could be just fake.
What's O'Shea's? Oh, you mean like with a restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it very well could have been a set, but I would imagine that they would probably actually go to a bar.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like decoration in here. So.
Yeah. So maybe it's like an Irish pub situation.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, then we switch to Anne and Chris on a date. And Anne says in her talking head that she feels better than she has in years, not only because of all the supplements and increase in regularity. Which is great that she's pooping. But she was like, it's not just that, it's him. And she says that if he asked her to move, then she would. And I don't know, like, what is wrong with me? In this episode, I was like, what is with everyone wanting to move in with each other when they haven't even been dating for that long?
When you know, you know.
I guess. And it's not even like they're moving into the same apartment. They're like literally moving states and countries.
I know.
But whatever. The reason. Oh, also, this is a fun tidbit. So on the commentary, Mike Schur said that they didn't actually know if Rob Lowe would be able to stay for the rest of this season. So they had to kind of rush Anne falling in love with him and being like sad about not moving in with him.
Which is
kind of, I guess it gives me, with, I guess, like a solace, if you will, to kind of explain like why she is like, oh my God, I'm so sad and I've only known you for like 5 days. But like, not.
Yeah, you're right. Because it isn't until like a later episode where they talk about like Anne's like kind of just falls in love really quick or like assumes her like boyfriend's like personality.
Right. Which honestly, they did a great job of tying that all in, because you could kind of see it. You definitely see it with Chris. But like if you go back through her relationship with Andy, you can kind of see how like she just kind of falls into what's given to her, as opposed to like,
yeah,
you know, staying true to herself kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like I totally, it does track, like they made it work. But I think for me, it just helps to know that like they had to rush it for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like that she like orders her wine exactly the same way as
I would
him.
Like wine. I would like it to be white, and I would like with one ice cube.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like that's the thing too. I could see Anne falling in love with him and like following all the things that he does. But then when she said like, I want to move with him to Indianapolis. I was like, okay. But yeah, anyways.
I guess if she's a nurse, she could work anywhere.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess she doesn't really have anything like tying her to Pawnee except for Leslie and the pit. And the pit is filled in now. And that's really all she wanted. Leslie's right. The one that wants like something more on top of that pit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Maybe she didn't think about like what she would do with her house or anything. She was just like, I'll go with him if he asks me.
Right. Yeah. So I get it. All right. So now we're back at the police party. And we are introduced to Chief Trumple. This is our first time seeing all the police officers that are going to be making their reappearances later in the series, especially Chief Trumple, especially because Ben has to be scared of him multiple times.
Yes.
So Chief Trumple, just before we get into all of the good stuff, well, I guess this is good stuff too, but he is played by Eric Pierpoint, and he was in a lot of things. He was in Heart of Dixie. He also played the sheriff in Holes, that movie Holes, you know, with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And I like really don't remember him being the sheriff in it. I have to go back and watch it. That is a great movie. I don't care.
Another it's so good. Like Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Nickelodeon classic.
Yeah.
Wonderful piece of American film. he was also in Star Trek Enterprise. He was also in Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. I couldn't find his immediate email, but I did message him on Instagram. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, awesome.
But and it's really funny because a lot of these cops, you can tell, are kind of typecast a tiny bit because a lot of them have played like sheriffs and firemen and like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's really funny.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he did a great job. Him and Ben playing off each other, like he's so no nonsense, and Ben is like all scared and weird around him. I think it's really funny the escalation that happens later in the series, because right now Ben is just awkward. He's not like super fearful. He's just like weird around them, I feel.
Yeah.
And Chief Trumple is just like, I said it was good. I don't know what more you want from me. Okay. And he also, like, it's so funny, Ben brings up calzones, and Chief Trumple almost seems, like, offended. Like, they all seem offended that he brings up calzones.
And Leslie's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What was that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's crazy. Okay. And then we see Tom coming in with Tammy Choo to try to rub it in Ron's face, because Tom is like, well, you have my ex-girlfriend, so I'm going to get your ex-wife. Gross.
Gross.
Leslie's end of her sentence, she had a really long insult, but she says, the end of the sentence is that she's a book peddling she demon.
I love that too. And I also think this is like, in my notes, I put that this is like the start of like Tom dating like crazy women, because I think interesting. Oh gosh. What is her name?
Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, yes. I think of Mona.
That's true. Because he's just like doing who will do him / like not dating people for the right reasons, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. The way that they're dancing / like getting on each other is so uncomfortable. Tammy's like biting his tie. And there was I was gonna play this scene too. There was a scene in the gag reel. You can't really find them on YouTube as much, I feel. But there's a really good gag reel on the DVDs, and Tom is pretending that he has something on his lips, and Tammy has to like kiss it off, and they're like getting closer and closer to Ron. So I'm just gonna like hang on. I'm gonna play this clip for you.
My lips.
I don't know if I got it. I don't think I did.
Is it still there?
The light is better over here.
Is it still on my lips?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a piece of cheese?
Yeah, I don't know. Piece of cute cheese.
It looks good for me.
I just love hearing them laugh and crack up. That is it me makes too. Me so happy.
It's so good.
Oh my God. And it's like, it's not, obviously you could tell. So something that I was also reading about this episode was that a lot of them, and they always are, but especially when Megan Mullally comes on with Nick Offerman and like them three, like with Tom included, were given a lot of improv leeway. Mm-hmm. And so you could kind of tell, I think, that they were improvising that. Like, I don't think that was really in the script. I mean, maybe it was, but like the way that Megan Mullally, like as Tammy, kind of goes off of him like cute cheese. It just seems like she was working with him. But yeah, and then, oh, apparently also in the deleted scenes, I didn't find it in the deleted scenes, but in the commentary they said that there was a scene of Tammy dancing on the bar. I really wanted to see that because...
Me too!
I guess they cut it, which is crazy because Megan Mullally was on the commentary and she was like, yeah, it was like really awkward because, you know, she's obviously very like... I don't know. I think that she's like very confident and whatever, but she was like being up on that stage, like with a bunch of strangers, like looking at my skirt, like as I was on the bar, was kind of funky, but whatever, you know?
Oh my gosh.
I want to see that.
She really played her character well.
Oh my gosh. She's amazing. Yeah. And I was going to also tell you, this is a funny piece of like kind of a tidbit. You know how she's like picking him up kind of and has like his legs underneath her arms where she's like holding him almost.
Yeah.
I was like, how is she doing that? Is she like so strong? But apparently there was a little shelf on that beam that Tom could sit on. So she was like half holding him and he was half sitting. I was like, oh my God, that's such a fascinating piece of information to me.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
So then Ron tries to get Tammy off of him, off of Tom, and Tammy slaps Ron, and we have this montage. This is where Maddie was talking about this little montage of cops explaining the situation. And for me, I think this is kind of like poking fun at the small town cops explaining things in their cop way, like making sure everyone is on the case, like in this small town, like 50 cops for like a minor situation.
And they all use kind of like the same like key phrases.
Yes. The like domestic nature, white male. Yeah. Yes. Totally.
Verbal altercation.
Yeah.
And then the real piece of work at the end. That was funny.
Real piece of work.
I love that Leslie's face just reacts so, like, all the extras and stuff, you can kind of see them. They're, like, looking, but she has, like, these shocked looks on her face, and, like, she just is, like, playing it so well, like, being, just observing Ron and Tammy and what's going on.
I know. Her facial expressions are the best.
Yeah, she has awesome facial expressions.
Yes. Well, so I will get into all of these officers. So this is, again, our first time seeing all these officers. This first cop, his name is Tracy. I don't know how you say it. Is it Howe or Ho? H-O-W-E. Maybe Howe. Anyway, he plays Officer Scorgel, and he is actually in 6 episodes. But this is his first. And he also played in the show 24, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Blue Bloods. Again, see what I'm saying? Like lawyers, cops, all that kind of stuff. It's really funny. And then our second officer is Mark Reducci. He's been in a bunch of things as well, but the last thing on his IMDb acting-wise was in 2017, so I am not sure if he's still acting or maybe he's doing commercials because that's not on IMDb, but either way, he was still in Inception, Days of Our Lives, a bunch of other stuff. All these cops have been in like 1,000 things, so that's really great. And then our third officer is Kurt Scholler. He's been in Bones, General Hospital, The Middle, Dr. Ken, The Big Bang Theory. He's like, if you see his face, he's been in a ton of stuff. He's also in the Office episode called Broke. He plays the accountant that tells the Michael Scott Paper Company that they're broke and like the fixed variable whatever thing is actually putting them out of business. And he's like, can you crunch the numbers again? And he like presses the keyboard and he's like, crunch. And Pam is like, did it change it or do anything? And he's like, no. But something that I found interesting about Kurt is that he is actually a sketch cast member for Jimmy Kimmel Live. You know how they do a bunch of sketches and like little correspondent things on the live TV shows?
Yeah.
Like Conan used to do that a lot, but Jimmy Kimmel does as well. And he's on there a lot. Like he does a lot of the sketches. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
And then our last officer, we see him in 7 episodes. This, again, is his first, is named Will McLaughlin, or McLaughlin, maybe. Oh, wonder if he's related to Sarah McLaughlin. Anyway, he comes back a lot. He's been in a ton of stuff, a lot of sketch improv stuff, like Key and Peele, UCB Short. So I'm sure he did. I'm sure they all did. But he especially had a lot of improv stuff on his resume. He was in Men in Black 3, Law and Order, like a ton of stuff. And his agents did message me back. So hopefully we'll be hearing something from him soon.
Oh, that's cool. This is Officer Lerma.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
With the one with the brown hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah. I didn't write down all of their... I think only two of them might have been named, though, apart from Chief Trumple. So, yeah. One was Officer Squirgle, and so I guess the other one was, what'd you say, Lorma?
Yeah, Lerma. I was just looking at his, like, little nameplate on his uniform.
Oh, gosh. Let me see.
I think like Squirgle.
I know. I wonder where they got that.
Reminds me of Torple. That's...
Which one? Oh, yeah. Wait, what's that again? The name?
The name of her niece. When they were, when Anne and Leslie are practicing a date for
Leslie's date.
And she's like, where were
Torple,
you?
Torple, no.
And she was like, I was taking care of my niece. And she was like, what's your niece's name? And she was like, Torple.
Oh my God. I wonder who came up with that.
I love it. It's just like funny sounding words. And it just
No, this one is, okay, sorry. This one is, Will is Officer Killnose. Killnose. Oh my God. His first name is Randy, apparently, but yeah.
Okay, Killnose. I see a Mancia. There's a Killnose.
Let me look at all the other ones to just see. So there's, yeah, Officer Squirgle, Torple, Officer Randy Killnose, and then the other ones were Police Officer 3 and Police Officer 4. Oh, so okay. I don't know if Squirgle. Kurt Schroller comes back.
That's funny.
Because Kurt Schroller, the one that's been in 100 Things, like, I thought he did come back, but maybe he doesn't. Because I feel like they were probably all named Police Officer 1, 2, and 3, and 4 until they were asked to come back or whatever.
Yeah, right, right. Okay.
What were you saying?
You don't see Squirgle? I couldn't see Squirgle on the
Okay. Well, anyways, maybe Squirtle. They changed their names after the fact or something, but...
Yeah. And I thought that it was Officer Trumble, because I was like, okay, that's like a reasonable name. But then, like, I saw the P. His name, it's Trumple. And I'm like,
yeah.
What kind of Trumple. Name is that?
I don't know! I really want to ask... that's why I want to get in touch with Emily, the writer of this, to see how she came up with the names of these people.
I want to be in the writer's room coming up with hilarious names for these people. That would be so fun me to too. Me.
Well, a lot of the times, a lot of the names, like we've seen with The Office and Parks, is that they name them after like crew members or like kids of the crew member or whatever. But like this doesn't sound like that.
Killnose.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
That's unfortunate if that's real.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, so Ron and Tammy now say that they're going to go bury the hatchet, which we all know where that's going to go. I don't even know why Ron thinks that burying the hatchet is even possible. But then they wake up doing it in the cells of Pawnee Jail right before they are doing it on a cop car.
Oh my
and,
God.
I really want to know where this Pawnee Jail was. You could kind of tell that it was CGI'd over the top of the building, but the building looked really cool, and I would really love to know where that is. I mean, they only did the exterior shot of it, so it could have been just like a stock photo, but, you know.
That's true.
So, anyway, one of the things that Mike Schur said that he really liked from this episode that he learned kind of like as a writer was that they went straight from Ron saying, everything's going to be fine, like directly to jail in the next scene.
Yeah.
Because originally there was a scene, and I saw it in the deleted scenes where they... After the everything's going to be fine thing, Leslie goes into Ron's office the next morning and sees, like, clothes thrown everywhere and, like, scratches on the wall and all these things. And you kind of see, like, the remnants of them doing it and, like, whatever. And then Leslie gets a call to go to the jail. But, like, Mike Schur was like, we cut that because we were editing and thought it was just, like, a really good learning experience to just like go from one thing to like the direct opposite in the immediate next scene because you don't need the other. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And it makes just, it funnier.
Yeah. It's just so dramatic because especially whoever had the idea for Ron to have cornrows.
Oh my God.
Like that is so hilarious.
Well, so that was another thing too. So Mike Schur said that the kimono and the cornrows was kind of like the first mental image they had when they knew they wanted Ron and Tammy to get back together. And they kind of like wrote backwards is what he said. So like that was the first thing they thought of because they were like, he's going to go crazy. Okay.
That is so funny.
And apparently, so speaking of which, the cornrows are real. Apparently, the hair lady on Parks, her name is Shay. I need to look up her actual name and like get in contact with her because I'd love to talk to her. Apparently, she does the hair for her. She does hair for Stevie Wonder, Jaden and Willow Smith.
Wow.
She also does Retta's hair. Retta was on the commentary and she said, oh, she does my hair, and she's done so like talented. My nephews or whatever like that. She's really good. She did the beads and everything.
Oh, my God.
And apparently like it only
took... The beads are red, white, and blue.
I know. Oh, I saw that, too. I was like, well, how crazy and funny that they're patriotic for Ron.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, so shout out to Shay, and we'll try to get her on one of these days. Apparently, Ron said that took, like, 45 minutes for her to do.
Wow.
And with his, like, short hair, I mean, that seems hard.
Yeah. But, it looks good. But I mean, and they look really good. It's just hilarious, like, looking at Ron with them. Like, what are you doing?
Totally. And they the makeup department did a great job, too, because he has, like, puffy eyes and, like, he looks so burnt out. And he looks like he's on drugs, which he basically is because Tammy's a drug to him. He just looks so bad.
Yeah, they, like, made his eyes so red. It's ridiculous. But yeah. I also love that Tammy still has her librarian glasses on.
I do, too. And she doesn't look nearly as like fucked up as him.
Oh no, I think that's
playing. She's thriving.
Like, yeah, she's thriving on her like devil energy. Like,
well, so like I said, they were given a lot of improv leeway, and one of the things that I looked up / heard them say, but also saw in some articles, that they might have made everyone else like actually feel uncomfortable because on the commentary they said that. They felt like they grossed everybody out, and especially, first of all, Retta confirmed, like, yes. And second, because Retta was in the room when they're making out in the, like, intervention thing. But then apparently they also said that Leslie really doesn't like seeing people she knows, like, make out in front of her or, like, have PDA in front of her, which is really interesting to me. Uh-huh. So she said that Leslie was kind of uncomfortable in the jail scene.
Oh my God. And her facial expressions, again, are perfect. Like, they're so good.
And then her taking the stick or whatever and like dragging it across the bars to try to get his attention is so funny.
Oh my God. And I love Tammy's line where she's just like, look at this ring that we got.
I know.
I'm just like hit on his penis. I bet that was an improv line too. To, like,
I know,
make him
right?
Feel uncomfortable.
Oh my God. So many things, especially the show as a whole, but especially Ron and Tammy, like everything could have been improvised. It's insane how well they work together with that.
It is really, and it's even crazier to just like realize like they're actually married, like in real life.
I know. It's so funny. I wonder if they couldn't do half the stuff that they did. If they weren't married, you know what I mean? And by
they
just
probably
mean, like,
play into it. And that probably helps gross people out too, because they're just like, oh God, these people are like me, you know?
This is how they react at home. I'm just kidding. Oh my God. But in the jail, Tammy's in this wedding dress and then Ron is in this kimono thing, obviously. And I think it's really funny because like the way that they're written is like, aren't they in different cells?
Yeah.
But they're, like, making out through the cell. It's just really funny to me that they were placed in different cells, but, like, you can't keep them apart. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. They're, like, trying to, like, make out through the mm-hmm. walls.
Yes, and then that's when she says the penis line of he has a ring like that. And you see the montage of what happened. So they made it on a cop car. They register at what looks to be a Bed Bath & Beyond in their underwear, basically. And that worker, like, totally seems fine giving them, like, a little scanner.
Yeah, she's like, here you go, guys.
It was very, and then they're like riding through the mall or whatever, the Bed Bath & Beyond. And then there is a worker behind them that sees them doing that and like seems freaked out, but still like weird. And also, what time was that at Bed Bath & Beyond? Like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. And then Ron breaks into City Hall, like literally punches the glass door to get a marriage license. And the Justice of the Peace just does not give a shit. He's like, okay, well, here you go. It's so funny.
I know. This must be like at like 7 a.m. or something. Like it looks like there's light,
maybe.
The sun is coming up or something, and they're still wearing what they were wearing.
Totally. That's a good call. I didn't even think about that. Oh well, so God. This Justice of the Peace was played by Craig Pearman. And he comes back actually to marry Ron and Diane. That, which is hilarious, because I was reading like his IMDb and things like that, and he comes back, and remember that line of like, I did a quickie wedding for you another time, right? And oh, I always remembered that, and I was like, wait, when did that happen? Because I figured it was Ron and Tammy, but I never remember the actual episode, because this is so fast the way that it happens, especially it's in a flashback technically,
right?
So like. Yeah. But anyway, Craig did message me back. We've exchanged some emails. He doesn't have like voice memo capabilities because he doesn't have an iPhone. But so we're going to figure something out, and I'm going to ask him some questions about coming back. But that was perfect, because I think it's great that they brought him back after that's like four seasons.
In between I know. Each other. Seriously.
And like this guy's still working there, obviously. Again, their superpower creating this small town thing that everybody, you know, is there for the town. Yeah. But Craig, according to his bio, is also a musician and a singer. So that's cool. So thank you, Craig, for sending emails, and we will get your voice memo or some kind of situation figured out soon.
Yay.
Also, it's really funny to me, and I felt like this was like one of the dirtier episodes of this season for a number of reasons, but one of them was because like after they like technically get married or whatever, they're each like both pushing each other's heads down.
Made like everybody uncomfortable, like, oh my god,
like, was that improvised? Like, because first he does it to her and then she does it to him, and I was like, oh my god. And so they're just gonna like, yeah, and that's the thing, they don't care, because at first I was like, so they're just gonna like do that in front of everybody, and it's like, yeah, that's their style.
Yeah. And Tammy, Megan Mullally, does such a good job with like these like inappropriate sounds that are just ridiculous. Yes. Like that's half of like what's so gross about it.
That's true. Good call. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh. Well, back at the office, Chris is telling April to call Anne and tell her that he can't make it to the lunch that Chris and Anne were going to go to. But she doesn't. She fakes it. Chris thinks that she's calling Anne, but she's not. And okay, Chris, also, did you notice that Chris takes like a handful of those vitamins? Like it looks like
the plastic ones. What is he taking? Did he just like take a bunch of sugar pills for this episode?
I'm like, oh my god, he couldn't have swallowed them. He must have spit them out afterwards. But still, that's not okay. That does not seem right. Okay, sir.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. Then that's also a choking hazard.
Right. Do not take that many at one time.
Yeah. Anyways, then Leslie and Ben are now sitting down with Chief Trumple, and this is where she shows her Leslie side, and she says, you know, she uses her big favor to let Ron go. And then Ben says, oh, thanks a lot, bro. Oh my god, Ben.
Oh my gosh.
And then this is where we learn, again, dirtiest episode I think so far. We learned that Ron's mustache rubbed off from friction.
Oh my gosh, Ron!
I was thinking about like, because the Office Ladies podcast talks quite frequently about like how standards and practices always is like, you need to mute that word, you need to blur their lips here, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I guess he didn't outright say like, pussy or anything. I'm like, how did they let that joke slide?
He didn't say anything.
No, you just have to like infer. And if you're an adult, you know what he's talking about. But oh my god. I also love how Adam Scott reacts in this
yeah, he's
every
like,
he's time.
Trying to crawl out of the car.
He literally opens the door or opens the window and like tries to breathe out the fresh air because he's like, it's so gross.
I don't know. I have never listened to this song, and I didn't listen to it before the episode, the Dancing on the Ceiling song by Lionel Richie.
Oh.
Because that was what Ron said.
Let's listen to it now. I'll play like a little clip or something in the...
Okay. He was like, that's our song.
I think it's really funny, too, that it was just randomly playing.
I know.
Are you playing it, or do you want me to share my screen?
You play it.
What is he doing? okay, we're watching the video, and they're going up in the elevator. Lionel is... Ew, mullet hairdo moment.
Wow, so much mullet.
Okay, let's... I'm sorry.
Look at these dresses, these clothes.
Oh, he's literally dancing on the ceiling.
Wow. There he goes. Okay, I love this music video. It's ridiculous.
Me too. Okay, we'll finish it. We'll finish it. Or I'll send it to you.
Oh my God.
But anyways, yeah, that's the song. So good job. I also realized that I just said like Lionel, and it's Lionel, obviously. So sorry.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
All night long, all night. That's the next one. That's up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Okay.
Another classic.
Another classic. All right. So now we're having an intervention, and Jerry gets Ron a gift off the registry. Oh my God, Jerry. Jerry thought it was a reception, not an intervention.
Did you notice also that, like, crappy little TV on top of that little, like,
oh my God, stand, me too.
Like from high school.
Yes, totally. When you're like having a movie day in high school.
Yeah.
I also love, did you see the Parks mural in the background?
Yeah, I did.
It was so cute. Also, where is this room the conference center? Or conference room, rather? Because there's no table in there.
I know. It's got to be, right? Maybe they moved it out for the intervention.
Well, yeah, that's a little bit more plausible. It's like they talk about that in The Office all the time, how when they have meetings, the table just disappears and no one ever talks about it. Yeah. So maybe that's like a similar situation here.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe. But it definitely looks like it because it looks through that, like, that window behind the TV is where Tom and Leslie
sit. And I wouldn't know where else it would be. So that's fine.
True.
Donna brings up Lavandrius, her cousin who she hates, which I think is really hilarious because we do learn that What's-His-Ass comes and plays him.
Right.
Questlove.
Well, I really love that. Before her part, I love when Leslie says that Ron's been sipping on joy juice and tripping on Tammy.
Tripping on Tammy.
And then I love, like, Retta's like her testimonial because she was like, I hate you.
I know, and I love that this, like, Mike sure brought it up too, but I was thinking it as well. Like, I love that they have this relationship where she can kind of just like yell at him and tell him his shit, you know what I mean? And like, he's technically her boss.
Right.
But she's been with him long enough. Like, apparently, like, we do learn in later season, or no, we learned about this in the first run of Tammy, where you know, Retta / Donna has been there longer than Leslie, technically. So she's seen him with Tammy. So she, like, has a longer relationship, I feel. And so she's just like, bitch, get your house together. Anyways.
Oh, my God.
Also, did you notice that Ron's eyes are, like, so bloodshot? Again, with the makeup department or whatever the fuck they did for this. It was, like, maybe they weren't bloodshot, but they, like, did that after. I don't know how they did it. It was so good.
I wrote that in my notes, too. Like, his robe and his, like, red puffy eyes from not sleeping all night are just so, like, over the top.
They're so good.
Like, he looks awful.
Totally. Oh, my God. Anyway, all right, so Andy is up next, and he has literally no idea what's going on. Also, this is after Tom, I believe, is like, yeah, totally, you look great, never look better, whatever, because Tom, like, can't admit that he was wrong. But Andy's is just so funny, where, like, he didn't really have a ton to do in this episode, so I love that, like, in this little scene, he's just like, follow your dreams, because he has no idea what's happening. And I also really love, like, you can, I mean, apart from Andy, I suppose, but even with Andy, like, I just like that this was, like, a perfect illustration /, like, a really good way, and I don't think they did this on purpose necessarily, or maybe they did, but, like, you see how everyone... how everyone's reaction / relationship is with Ron individually.
Right, yeah. You're right. And that's a really good point.
I just think it's, like, really beautiful because you see Leslie's like, get your shit together, and so is Donna, but, like, in a more mean way. And then, obviously, Jerry's, like, so out of touch, doesn't know what the hell's going on. And then Tom, like, knows that he's wrong, and you can kind of see that, too. You know, it's just, I don't need to...
selfish.
Right. So... I really love that. And then Ron himself has his own video to himself. and I love Leslie's line when he says, you guys are crazy. You people are crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, that was you. You said that.
Right.
You were saying those things.
Yeah. I love when that he tells himself you have Dance with the Devil.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love it, too.
And then this scene, it makes me, like, I feel uncomfortable watching them. And when Tammy comes in after this and is, like, rubbing, they're, like, rubbing their feet together. And he's, like, pretending to be, like, a bull or whatever. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, I said bull. And Mike Scher on the commentary said, like, rhino or hippo or something. And I was like, it's a bull. Like a hippo. But yeah, he's like revving up with his leg and like he's smelling her like he's a literal animal.
Right. I know. Oh, my God.
And she got Gatorade and peanuts for energy. Because they want to start a family together and they're going to like just do it at the cabin. Gross.
Like, I want to know, was his like revving his feet and kind of like sniffing her? Was that something that Ron came up with or was that like a writer or director kind of situation?
Honestly, I don't know. I just feel like with them two, all bets are off. And I think that they just like ran with it. I don't know. Especially like her. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure like at this point too, like, you know, like they said at the beginning when they knew that Ron and Tammy could carry an episode by themselves, kind of like when I don't even know. I would have loved to see the script for like their interactions. Like, I'm sure like certain things were scripted, but like especially her like sex noises or whatever of like, yeah. Oh, God, like that kind of thing was totally all Megan, I feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it had to have been. I just thought this scene between the two of them was just like so gross. Like,
I know.
Perfect.
They did say also, if anyone's wondering, they did shave his mustache, like for reals. And obviously, or maybe not obviously, but whatever. And they were kind of worried that for the next episode, his hair wouldn't have like grown back in time or whatever. But they said like after like a day or something or like 2 days, it was just like full grown. It was like completely like nothing had ever happened. So.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean grown? Like, wouldn't it just be like taking it out of the braids? Wouldn't it be just curly?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't mean his hair. I mean his mustache. They shaved his mustache.
Oh, I see. Okay, I understand.
And like they were, yeah. And so they were like kind of worried that it wouldn't grow back in time.
And oh, but it did. Oh, my God.
It did like immediately. And they're like, oh, we're fine.
Oh, my gosh. What is the tattoo that Ron has on his arm?
I don't know. I think that's
like,
a Nick Offerman thing.
Is it a real tattoo or is it fake?
No, I think it's a Nick Offerman thing because I've definitely seen that one before, I feel. Like in other productions that he's been in.
Okay. It's like the way it looks kind of like blurry. So it almost kind of looks like kind of like a crappily done tattoo that they got together.
Is it the one like it's kind of like a planet or something?
I don't know. I really can't tell.
Hey, I'm going to share my screen and I'll like see if you can see this. Hang on.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Is it a planet?
Well, I don't know. It kind of looks like one.
Yeah,
maybe it's
right.
Not. I don't know what it is. But there's like a little thing over it. Look, somebody got a Ron Swanson tattoo. That's insane.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
One episode shows Ron with a tattoo. Ron may not have any tattoos, but the actor who plays him certainly does. He has two tattoos with a woodworker-themed crest on his right arm as well as a cross on his left arm.
Okay, that must be what it is.
Oh, woodworker theme. Wonder what that means.
Yeah, but like something about like the way that they shot it, it looks like kind of blurry, so it doesn't look great from that angle. Well, I guess maybe it's just that plus dreadlocks.
Yeah, no.
His dreadlocks, his cornrows.
That makes total sense. You're right.
Oh my God.
Well, anyway, so that was real. Good question. I'm sure other people were wondering that too. Okay, so now we're back at Chris's office, and Andy comes in to try to get April out of this job very poorly. I love this so much. I don't know how to make it my favorite line because it doesn't really make sense, but who cares? Maybe it's not my favorite line, but the thing where he goes, this whole letter in general, really, but when he goes, to whom it may concern, dear Chris. And I love that he said it's from Ron, but he signed it as Burt Macklin, which we all know is his own FBI superego or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And I love Chris's reading of this, too.
It's Me really too. Good. That's so true. His reading makes it. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
At the end, you know, when Chris Pratt says, like, when, what's his ass? Well, Chris is like, you know, you don't have to work with me. Like, you didn't have to do this. And Chris Pratt is like, oh, she didn't do that. Like, that sounds like that was Macklin's call. That was a Chris Pratt improv.
Oh, nice.
Which is really funny. Did you notice also that there is, like, a picture or, like, a couple pictures of, like, office supplies behind April's desk? There's one that's, like, a clip art picture of a stapler and then, like, a clip art drawing of, like, tape and scissors. And it's, like, it's really interesting to me that they have that hanging up in the office for some reason.
It is. Well, I saw, like, the old-timey, like, pictures of, like, some, like, weird, like, family or something.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is it, like... No, well, I was going to say if it's in the parks department, maybe it's like a park family, but...
It might be. It's like a sepia-toned picture. It's like a sepia-toned picture, like, by Anne's head.
Hmm.
When they're talking.
Okay, I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. I don't know who that is, but I do see, like, all the office supplies you're talking about.
Oh yeah. God. I just thought that was interesting, but it doesn't matter. It's just funny to me that that's how they decorated it. And then Anne is sad because April was asked to move with Chris instead. And, like, she has his talking head where she's like, well, I guess he wants April to move with her. So there's that.
Anne is so cute in this outfit. I love her. I know. So much.
I like her hair, too.
I want her lipstick.
They always come up with really good outfits / like looks for her, I feel.
Yeah. Anne is adorable.
Mm-hmm. Now Leslie is guilting Tom, like, they're in the office, at the park's office, and, because it's basically Tom's fault, kind of-ish, you know what I mean? It is Ron's fault, too, because he doesn't really understand what's going on, and he, like, gets in this, like, headspace, but Tom kind of started it, so.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't really do anything to stop it, which I think, where Leslie is talking about.
Right.
So he redeems himself later, but before we get to that, Ben tries to talk to Chief Trumple, and he calls him Calzone Boy. I love that. It's so funny. And I also really love, we talked about this too, and Maddie said this as well in her message, where she said, you know, you can definitely see Ben's fear of cops kind of grows over time, because right now he's awkward, but he's not, like, as terrified, I feel. So that's kind of interesting to see, too.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think it's like, cool, too, because then, like, what's his ass? Dave comes back, who Leslie used to date. And so when the fear, like, grows, he's, like, now afraid of her ex-boyfriend. So it's, like, really interesting and right. Cool. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Ben does so good in these scenes. He really does. Funny.
Adam Scott is awesome. Also, apparently, side note, Adam Scott apparently worked with Megan Mullally briefly on Party Down. Which we talked about when he first came on Parks, but do you know that show in Party Down?
No, I don't think I do.
Oh my God, you should watch it. It's so good. I think it's on Hulu. They're apparently doing a revival of it, and oh my gosh, Janice from Mean Girls was also a main character in it.
Oh, nice.
And basically, the reason why it's funny to me, but why I think it would be funny for everybody, it's a lot of the Wet Hot American Summer cast as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is, you know, that crew. But it's about this catering group, and they're all wanting to be actors, writers, whatever, in the media, okay, entertainment business. And so they're all doing this to, like, you know, make their money kind of situation. And so we always talked about it when we were catering when I lived in LA, and it was really funny.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I could definitely very see accurate.
That. Yep.
Yeah, it's very accurate, and it's just hilarious. And I think that was one of the reasons why, I mean, well, Step Brothers was, like, the main reason why I think Greg Daniels and Mike Schur had him in mind. But they saw Party Down, and a lot of people, like, that was one of the things too that, like, critics, quote unquote, which who cares what critics say, but that was one of the things that audience members said, like, the Party Down character and Ben are very similar as far as, like, the awkwardness and, like,
oh really, oh my gosh,
yeah. And Megan Mullally even said, like, on the commentary, like, you didn't really get to see him shine as much in Party Down, like, you do, he's a main character, but I think in this one you get to see more of his, like, comedic awkwardness, whereas,
oh yeah,
like, I feel like in Party Down, to me personally, and it's been a while since I watched it, but to me in Party Down he seemed a little bit more like judgy awkward, if that makes sense. Mm, like a little okay. bit more like holier than thou. Tiny bit. But yeah. here he's like more adorkable, quirky, like I'm yes. really awkward and like funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's super adorkable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, anyways. But
I feel like this conversation goes really well. And I feel like he really like gains an appreciation for Leslie when Chief Trumple says Leslie can have all the favors that she wants.
Yeah. You know who this reminded me of, Brooklyn? Mom.
I know.
I really feel like somebody would say that about Mom.
I really
like feel like she that gets too. As many favors as she wants because she's the type of person who uses her favors to help other people.
Yes, I agree. That is a really good comment. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So true. Yeah, it's so true.
So he's yeah. like immediately on board. The chief is immediately on board to help with the Harvest Festival. He's like, just tell us, or Harvest Festival, just tell us when and where to be there and we'll be there.
Yeah.
But to your point that it was a good conversation, not only on that front, but also we get to see a little bit of Ben's like jealousy slash, you know, interest in whom she has dated before.
Yeah.
Ben asks about Dave. And he's like, so like, was it like serious? Or like, what's going even on? Is he coming back? Whatever.
Right.
And he's like, what are you, pervert? Like, nope, bye. Okay, thanks, bye. But it's so cute. I love that. I really love that.
I love it too. They both really played off each other well. And yeah. Because you're like, oh, this conversation is going well. And then you're like, oh, yep, it's still awkward. So.
Never mind. Thanks, bye. All right. So now we are having a cute little bridal shower moment at the library. This is a huge scene for a number of reasons, which we'll get into. But our friend, the one who gave Tammy the library card that says Tammy Swanson.
Yeah.
And she's like, look at the name. And she is also the librarian that was in a previous episode that we saw where Leslie and Anne are trying to rent a book, but Leslie has too many overdue books. Her name is Brooke Bomber. She is amazing. We love her so much because she always sends us voice memos so fast and so like detailed and cute. So I asked her some questions and I'm going to share what she said. She sent us 3 voice memos, which was like so sweet. And again, it was so fast. So thank you, Brooke, for sending those in. And here is the first one.
I remember being so excited when I found out Megan Mullally was going to be in this episode. I had the honor of working with her and Sean Hayes several years prior on an episode of Will and Grace. So she comes to set and she takes a seat in that semicircle that we were all in, and she introduces herself to me. And so I restated my name and reminded her that she and I had actually worked together on Will and Grace, and she put it together in her brain and she said, You played the casting director, right? And my face lit up because, oh my gosh, she totally remembered. And that made for a nice bonding moment that just set the tone for the rest of the day of filming. It was truly wonderful.
Yay!
That's awesome!
I know!
That would make me feel so good. That's cool.
I know. I thought that was such a great memory, especially like if you are like, I just love hearing stories of number one, like superstars being, you know, nice, but also especially like it just goes to show that like if you remind people and they're nice, like it was just a nice story. You know what I mean? Because I feel even if she didn't remember her, I feel like she would have been like, oh, like, you know, Megan Mullally would have been nice about it. But like it's nice that she like put the pieces together because there's obviously so many guest stars on these shows, you know, it's probably hard to remember. So I'm just really glad that she made her feel welcome.
I know, me too. That's awesome. I have heard that Megan is like super nice. Like she has such like a devious cackle in this episode, like the character that she plays, and she plays it so well, but
she's so good at playing like vicious and vindictive.
Oh my gosh, she's so good. But you know what? Brad and I have talked about this too, like the people, like the characters that play like mean or evil characters, they always like tend to be like the nicest people in real life, and they're just like really good actors because like they have to make you kind of like hate them, like
yeah. Well, and also I mean it's like they go deep, I feel, with it because they don't get to do that in real life, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's, like, super fun for them. But I also love Megan, too, because she's a Broadway star. A lot of people don't know that. But she, like, originated the role in Young Frankenstein. Mel Brooks's musical, and she's been in a ton of stuff, but that one is especially like what I remember her for. But she's like a really lovely singer, and she's like freaking hilarious in that. It's a very comedic song that she sings. She like falls in love with the monster or Frankenstein or whatever, and she has this song called Deep Love, and it's like deep love because he has a large penis. And it's so good. You should look up, maybe I'll have to post it, or I don't know, just remind people, because it's on YouTube, her performance, and it's so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, so then she sent a second memory just about her time on set. So here's what I'll play that one now.
Another cool memory that happened that day was that I was 4.5 months pregnant with my second child. And right after we had filmed a take, director calls cut, and my daughter kicked for the first time. And I think my face just must have shown that something happened. And this crew person was walking by, and she said, are you okay, Brooke? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I think I just felt my baby kick for the first time. And a bunch of people overheard that, and they're like, oh my God, you're pregnant. And so it was kind of a full moment that everyone kind of like cheered my pregnancy.
Oh, yeah,
that's so sweet.
It is so sweet. And she just posted on her Facebook. I follow her. I'll tag her again, but I follow her on Instagram. And she just posted about her two daughters that are a lot older now. They're still young, but like a lot older now, obviously. So that's so cute. I love that everyone's like supportive, and that they know that director or whoever crew person noticed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, weren't you saying like previously, like people have just talked about how easy it was to be on set and like how supportive everyone was and just like, you know, made everyone feel comfortable. Like even all like the main cast, like even Amy Poehler and everyone was just like, they were just like, this is one of the funnest like sets to work on.
Yeah, everyone always talks about that. Like every guest that we have on there says that it was like such a, you know, well-oiled machine, but also just like everyone was super friendly and super nice and super fun to work with. And just like, yeah, Amy Poehler really set the tone is what everyone says, really. That like she's just so kind to every person that comes on that set. Like if people... it's been a ton of people, but like even if they're riding in the bus to location or like in the makeup chair or something like that, like she makes it a point to be like, hey, welcome, like whatever, you know what I mean, like thanks for being here kind of situation. And it's just like, it's so endearing, and it just like, I don't think people realize how much like, and you and I feel like talk about this frequently sometimes in politics, but like I feel like I don't think people realize how much like kindness and hope, how powerful that is. And how much it trickles down.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what Star Wars is based on.
A New Hope. Oh, my God.
I know. Wow.
Ben would be so proud of us for saying that.
Oh, my God. Total Ben moment. Hey, Ben.
Oh, my God. Good job, Brooklyn. Good job.
I mean, there's literally like 13 plus movies about the hope of being able to take over the empire. So I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
It's pretty powerful.
So cute. Okay, great job. Thank you so much. Okay, so the last one that she sent me. Okay, so we'll talk about it a little bit, but not really. Honestly, I'll just talk about it now. So that stunt that Aziz does, or like that you see Aziz's character do, being slammed into the
bookshelf.
That was him. Aziz Ansari did that himself. that was not a stunt person. When I first watched it, like, you know, in analyzing it, I was like, that had to have been a stunt person. Like, that looked really tough and whatever. But no, that was all him. It was confirmed on the commentary that it was him. And so, like, Megan Mullally was actually, I don't think she was actually, like, slapping him, but, like, she was definitely hitting him. And
it looks
Nick
so fake.
I know. It really does. That's fun. It's actually funny because Nick Offerman made a comment on the commentary as well that, like, he really likes Megan's, what's the word, like, rev up, if you will. Like, she swings her arm around, like, really dramatically. And, like, she doesn't do it fast. She just, like, swings her arm out straight and making, like, a circle for whoever she's hitting.
Yeah, and Todd doesn't do anything.
When he could see it from, like, a million miles away.
Chop, like a karate chop.
Oh, my God. And I love... Yeah, then she calls him, like, do your worst, Glenn. It's so funny. But anyway, I asked Brooke about, like, what that was like being on set, seeing that, like, right in front of her very eyes.
Yeah.
And this is what she had to say.
So the famous Aziz bookcase moment. The memory that stands out most to me with that particular scene is that he was so laissez-faire about it. You know, I don't know if they had worked on it several days prior, the choreography with it, but he was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to fall into these books or everything else. And, you know, maybe another actor would have been more scared about, am I going to get hurt or how's this going to look? He just totally took it in stride. And what you see on the screen was just gold. And I believe, if memory serves, that was only like two takes. He was a total pro.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
A part of me wonders, like, do you think that, or maybe I'll ask, like, if I get in touch with anyone else, like, I wonder if he had any sort of padding or if the books maybe weren't real, but they all looked really real. So I don't know.
I don't know. That was awesome commentary.
But regardless, it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice that he did it. And yeah, so now we have two Brooks. I wonder if she has any long name or if her name is just Brooke. It's probably just Brooke. But
yeah,
unless she's from the South,
it might be.
At this point, it's very strange. I cannot imagine calling you Brooke now. It seems very strange to me.
I know, it does seem weird.
But anyway, so
but I think it's a pretty name, and I've met a lot of
I don't mean that it's not a pretty name. I just mean for you personally.
Oh yeah, yeah. I met another person with a daughter whose name was Brooklyn,
and I was really,
like, oh, I know. Yeah,
how'd they spell it?
I didn't ask how she spelt it, yeah. But also, fun fact, our neighbor's dog is also named Brooklyn, so
what? Sometimes... That has to be after the city, right?
It must be, but sometimes when she's yelling for the dogs, I'm like, what?
Excuse me, because for the listeners that don't know, Brooklyn is because Mom wanted to have Brooke and Lynn together, and then she did that Southern thing where she just combined them, but instead of putting a space in between, it's just Brooke with an E and then Lynn. Yeah. But then you also have a separate middle name.
Yeah, so. It's a lot of letters. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. But I remember even in like elementary school and stuff, I would call you Brooklyn in front of like friends and people would be like, Brooklyn? Because you didn't like Brooklyn at that point. But I just did it anyway. But it doesn't, I mean, you like it now, so whatever.
I do. But, I do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to take away from Brooke Bomber, who sent in those voice memos. Thank you so much for sending those in. I love hearing those behind the scenes things. Like, it makes our day to hear that kind of information. So, and yeah, thank you so much.
Me too. No, and I loved how she talked about, like, I don't know if they choreographed it or what, but he just went for it.
Yeah, and then he seemed like super chill and calm about it.
And then he just like plays it off. Like, I love when Ron carries him out and he just like gives that like mean baby scowl, like looking back. Mm-hmm. Tammy, it's so good.
Yes, exactly. Well, and also what's funny, before we get to the picking him up thing, Jerry is there and they like zoom out and they show that Jerry's sitting there and he's like, or Tom is like, Jerry, what the hell? I really love that. But
too.
Mike Schur also complimented, I guess, but commented that him and I think it was Dean Holland that was editing this one at this point. And like at first they were going to have it come in and show everybody and Jerry would just be there and you'd be like, oh God, he's here. But that comedic timing / comedic editing of like zooming out and us not knowing that he's there. I really love that. I think that is too. So smart.
Yeah, that is really smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So then, you know, Tom gets a conscience. Is that the right use of that word?
Yeah.
I guess. And he tells Ron the truth about Tammy. And Tammy said that when he asked her to be his date, she, quote, said anything to make Ron miserable. So, and then Ron still doesn't believe it. And then Tammy starts beating him up. And then this is when the bookshelf thing happens and he's hitting her and everything. And I love that Ron finally sees the light because he says, seeing her pick on this defenseless little man reminded him of what a monster she is.
That's really good.
And then
cackle in this scene is just so good.
It is. It's incredible. Oh, And I love how she can manipulate her voice as well.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to look that up. I don't think that she does a ton of voice acting, but she would 100% like book stuff, I feel. Yeah. But anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I when you said the baby thing, I think it's really funny that he picks him up like that, because I think Tom could have walked out.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure he would have been maybe a little like sore limping because of the bookshelf thing, but like.
He was fine. He was hamming it up.
Yeah. And Tom like just totally milks it, and he like grabs onto Ron's neck and like gets cradled and snuggled. It's just hilarious.
I know.
Oh, my God. Well, then we have this little romantical moment, because Ben comes to Leslie's office and says, like, I talked to the chief. We're good to go. He'll give us the hours that we need. And then he asks if she's hungry and if they should go out to eat. And it's really cute because he did this. I don't know if you remember this, but I don't know if it. Wait, was it this episode or maybe it was two episodes ago? I think it was the episode that. They announced the Harvest Festival. Maybe it could have been a deleted scene too, but I think it was a deleted scene actually. Yes, mm-hmm. It was, because he asks her to out to eat prior to this, and she's like, "No, there's still people in line," because this is when they had slashed the budget, and she was, and people were like actually really upset about it. They were coming to the office and being like, "Oh my God, what do we do about this, that, and the other?" And she was like, "No, there's still people in line. I'm going to help them." And he has this like moment where the camera catches him like staring at her longingly, being like, "Oh wow, that's really nice that she's like helping these people, even though she doesn't have to." Blah, blah, blah. It's like after hours. It's almost 6 o'clock. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like really mad that they cut it, but I'm kind of glad that they put this in because it's really cute.
It is really cute, and she's so serious.
Actually, I think this might be my favorite line. There's a really great calzone place in Idiotville down on Terrible Idea Avenue. And then she really does get serious. Like, calzones are pointless. Good day, sir.
So I know. And he was like,
why? It didn't matter. But then she's joking, and it's really precious. And they're having a little banter moment, and I love it.
I know. I love it, too. It's such a nice little ending. So this was also, was this filmed before or after she had the baby? She was. Before. So she was pregnant. Okay. Mm-hmm. Still in this one. Oh, yeah. That's right. We did talk about that with the wardrobe choices. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really can't even tell at all.
I know. That's what I said. And it's really interesting to me, too, because they do say, and I wonder. No, I was going to say, because they said that they did a lot of her talking heads behind the desk so that her belly would be hidden. But I feel like they do that already. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. The way that they had like the cuts and the angles of like, you know, her like just being in the scenes. Yeah.
So anyway, that's a really cute moment. And this cute little tag of Ron and Tom drinking scotch or whiskey or whatever they're drinking, them getting back to themselves and being friends, and Ron saying that scars are sexy, and that women like it if you don't tell them that you were beaten up by a girl or a woman, yeah, whatever. Right. And I actually love this part where they say that the tumbler, or not the tumbler, the little glasses are the gift from Jerry for the wedding, yeah, or whatever. Because I feel like he keeps those. Like, he drinks out of those all of the time.
Oh, he might. They're really nice tumblers.
They're really nice. I really love them.
Really pretty. So.
Are they called tumblers? The little small one?
I think so. Okay, well, so, like a glass tumbler.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But anyway, yeah. Because like I was going to say, I'm sure he's drank whiskey before this episode, but I feel like I don't really remember those nice glasses. So I just think it's really cute that we definitely use them in the future. And one of the things that Mike Scher said was that, like, especially after a Ron and Tammy episode, he really loves that it always ends with someone in Ron's office drinking whiskey, like, getting back to themselves, talking about, like...
Like, well, a bonding moment.
Yeah. And, like, here's to love. Like, may we all find it.
You know what I mean? That's a really good idea. I like that sentiment. I didn't even pick up on that, but that, I guess,
I know,
that's
I
true.
Didn't either.
Oh, I until love he said that.
But, yeah. Do you have a favorite line? Do you, like, know?
Oh my gosh, I think I am gonna have to go with Maddie on this one. Like, my favorite multiple lines are when the cops are
Oh, yeah.
Are kind of like repeating what went on. And they all say, what seems to be the problem? What seems to be the problem here?
Yeah.
I really love that scene, too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Love that. Love it so much.
And Tammy's cackles, like, throughout. It's just, they're so good.
I know. Maybe we should do, like, a best sound effect situation.
Yeah.
You know, because even Leslie has really funny laughter as well.
She does. She really does.
Yeah.
I also really like the scene when Leslie's trying to like cheer up Ron from Wendy leaving. And she's just like, Ron, I'm going to tell you this. Men are dogs.
I love that too. He's like, not applicable here, but.
Right. Yeah. But okay, she's like, I'm just going to say it because this is the advice that I have right now.
Oh my God, that's so funny. You know what I thought about doing? And I got this idea. I mean, credit where credit is due. I got this idea from the podcast Binge Mode, which I think I've talked to you about. They do a bunch of shows, but they especially do Harry Potter, and they do the books. They do book reviews. They do like chapter by chapter, and then mm-hmm. they also do the movies. And one of the things that they do is like a segment of like, basically it's like a who wins this episode kind of thing. I think it's a like for them, I think it's like who gets the house cup or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And I really feel like we should have that. Like who maybe should get like, I don't know. Now what's a Parks relevant term? I was going to say employee of the month, but like Anne couldn't win. Oh, that's good. Then. But Anne couldn't win.
Well, but she does start working as a public health I guess. Person.
But like what, I don't know. What if it's a guest star that doesn't work there? I think it should be like Park Pal of the episode or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Park Pal VIP. VI
Friends
Park Pal.
Friends of Pawnee.
Yeah, I don't know. I like VI Park Pal. So stupid. Instead of VIP, it's like VIPP.
Yeah.
Because of the PPPPPP or whatever, yeah. The Pawnee whatever prevention shit thing.
Oh my God.
I think the VIP though in this episode or VIPP should be Tammy.
Oh yeah. She was crushing it in this episode. Oh my God.
Phenomenal. Well, that was Ron and Tammy too. So we did. I feel like that was faster than normal simply because I didn't have as many voice memos, which I might be getting, and I'll add them either later or we'll add them to the recap of next episode. But thank you guys for being here. If you haven't reviewed the show, please do that. That really helps us out. And then also follow us on Instagram. And if you have any questions or want us to like reach out to anybody in particular, I'm already doing that. So I don't know why to say that, but like you can ask specific questions and I'll try to add. Like, yeah, okay. If you have like a question for the people that we've already interviewed, I'm happy to do that too. So long story short, thank you so much. Thank you, Brooklyn, for being on here. I really appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you for having me. And Maddie was here in spirit with all of our Anne moments.
Yeah. Yeah, she did a great job with her summary, as per usual. She will be back, though, because the wedding stuff has, like, obviously stopped. But she's also super busy at her job, which, you know, send prayers and thoughts to her as well. You know, just in general, her job is stressful. So we want to make sure that she's feeling like healthy and balanced. So that's good too.
Yeah. She probably just needs to sleep after the wedding a little bit.
I know, right? I know. I've been meaning to ask her, and I'll ask her tonight, like how she's been feeling now that like the wedding, she doesn't have like a to-do list for the wedding anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now she gets to just enjoy being married.
I know. So cute. Well, congratulations to Maddie and Yvonne. Thank you so much again for listening. We will see you next time. Thank you, Brooklyn. Thank you, Brooke Bomber. And then also hopefully some police officers will get back to me that I'll be able to report.
Okay, cool.
Some more behind the scenes. Yay. Thanks, guys. Have a good night / day / whenever you're listening. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.